life and love. Why can't we see beyond the strife in our petty little lives? Why can't we see outside ourselves and beyond the lies?
This podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
You know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the Creep songs. Those are
running
CDs
in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Dreaming, it comes to life, and I see it out in the light. My feelings, my demon strong, I need it to carry on. I can feel it, I can see it. When I see the sunrise, I can feel it, I can feel your eyes. And I need a sign. I need a sign, long gone the days when we could sit upon your porch. Never had to think of what to say, nothing forced. I need a sign. Your blood inside my veins. You taught me how to live. I need a sign. I need a sign. I'll wait for you to come to me like a dream. For something every day in between. I miss your hands, I miss your strength.
meet you. Never want my vision of you to fade away. 'Cause I need a sign that you're listening. I need a sign that you're looking down on me. I need a sign I've lost my way into today. I need a sign that you're listening. I need a sign that you're looking down on me. I need a sign I've lost my way into today.
Show featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RudaRooRadio.com, BuildTheScene.com, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. And with me tonight is Allie Gibson from the Radioactive Events Center in Kittanning. What's up, Allie?
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. I kind of like really limited you with that station, with what I said there. So, correct me if I miss anything. DJ Alley Cat.
Yes.
You are a promoter.
Yep.
You host foam parties.
Yes.
You're a event photographer.
Yes.
Okay, now what am I missing?
Graphic design.
Ah, I have seen flyers too.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
So, tell me a little bit about Radioactive Event Center. I know it's an old warehouse in Kittanning, but I've never actually been in it, which your dad would constantly ask me to come down. I'm like, yeah, and then I don't.
Well, we're a nonprofit, too. I don't know if you knew that.
I did.
We're a 500-capacity venue. Multi-level, not like a balcony multi-level, but you know, and otherwise, I mean, it's hard to explain, like, if you haven't been there.
I watched a dodgeball tournament between bands on there.
Yeah, that was fun. We, decided to do a battle of the bands, except I didn't want to do it like a normal battle of the band, so we just made it a dodgeball tournament, and we played their music in the room while they were playing, which was kind of a good thing and a bad thing, because you know, a lot of our guys play real heavy stuff, so I think it just made them more angry.
The adrenaline.
Yeah,
I actually I can't remember which bands, but quite a few of the bands were in the tournament that I actually contacted afterwards. And they've been on the show.
Nice.
That's your dad's live videos. I've watched quite a few of those. I think I saw some kind of, was it Slender Man or something going on there?
Oh, that's super old.
Yeah.
I think we were just playing around. Definitely a couple years old.
So who are some of the artists that have played at your venue?
Okay. oh boy. I'm gonna try and go with names you know at least. We've had Sworn In. We've had the Ying Yang Twins, actually.
I know Oceans to Ashes has been there recently. Fairly recently.
I think so. I know, like, a couple of them are speaking in tongues, so I think that's...
That's possible.
What you might be thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh boy, we've had so many shows.
And multi-genre too, correct?
Yes.
I know I've seen metal, I've seen rock, I've seen rap, I've seen hip-hop.
Yeah, I'd say for hip-hop, we've had Justina Valentine. I don't know if you've heard of her, but I think she's the most successful artist that we've had, because when she came, she was touring with Broken Side, and now she's on this show called Wild and Out, which is a MTV show, and yeah, it's pretty cool seeing her grow, you know?
Hey, I talked to her.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about, how you got involved in the local music scene. Was it just following through with your dad's footsteps, or?
Basically, I mean, when we first opened the venue, we actually weren't operating as a venue. We were a under 21 dance club. And then I think after 2 years, we started, bringing in, you know, music acts, and that was mostly my dad. I was still like 16 or 17 at the time. So, and I think after a couple years after that is when I started, doing the booking. And yeah, I pretty much do it myself now.
Now, is your dad still involved in daily operations, or do you handle all of that?
Yeah. He does a lot of, like, I don't know, I do the fancy stuff, like booking the talent and stuff, and usually he does work around the venue if anything, you know, he's like the handyman.
For those of you who don't know, her dad is Mark Gibson. He's in the band Pearl, which is a little bit before my show started. and he does the song, I can hear it in my head. Push him back, way back. What is the name?
Yeah.
The Steelers song.
Yeah, not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's it.
Yeah, it actually got some airtime. I know recently it was played on a...
It was on a TV broadcast, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was played in the stadium once, and then it was played on a show recently. I can't remember what show, but...
I have a signed copy of it in my CD collection for the show, for the PA Rock show.
Nice.
I happened to see him, I don't even know where, and he's like, hold on, I have something for you. Which is really cool.
Right.
How does someone get in touch with you to book a show or to get you to do some photography for them?
It could go any way. Over the years, I've gotten a lot of friends, like on Facebook, just from, you know, all over the country, either because they've played the venue or heard of us. So really, like, they could message me on Facebook or even Radioactive's Facebook page, or send us an email. And it's the same for my photography. Usually people just message me. I don't really get emails about that.
So mostly through Facebook then?
Yeah.
What is your Facebook address? Besides Ally Gibson. It's spelled a little differently, so.
I actually don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, I'm going to find it. Give me 1 second. Let's see. It is Ally.Gibson137, but Ally is A-L-E.
Yeah, simple enough.
So, and you can find her as Ally Gibson Photography. You can find her at Radioactive Events Center on Facebook. What is black on the canvas?
That is a online music and culture magazine that I shoot for, and I think I've been with them for 3 years. I went on Craigslist looking for if someone, you know, a magazine was looking for a photographer or whatever, and I found them. And it's still pretty small, and we're in the middle of changing a lot of things. But yeah, I think we plan on like making a YouTube channel and all this other cool stuff.
So you're gonna be videography going on there?
A little bit.
I'm surprised that's not in your list, knowing your dad.
Oh, yeah, it's, videography is a lot tougher than photography. I'm trying to get into it, but it's tough.
So now that I'm on your Facebook page, I have all kinds of questions for you. What did you do at the zoo?
Oh, boy. That was my first job. And I went to the zoo on my birthday, February, and they happened to have a job fair the same day. So basically, like, they were interviewing people, like, doing walk-up interviews. And I was looking through the job listings, and they needed people for their entertainment crew, which it's something I never saw when I went to visit, but I guess it wasn't something I was looking for either. But the entertainment crew is a group of people that run events, mostly for, like, the kids, games and stuff like that. And more often than not, I was the one in the mascot costume.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it wasn't so bad, but it was also the middle of July, so it was rough.
Yeah, I used to work at Kennywood, and I worked in communications, which was right in Ride's office, and the person in charge of Ride's was also in charge of the mascots. So I talked to them often. The question I now have is, did the zoo treat the mascots as well as Kennywood did? Because the mascots at Kennywood had their own room, and it's hidden, but you've seen it probably every time you've been there.
Yeah.
They have, you know, the Sky Coaster platform? So when you're on the platform, there's a set of steps that go downstairs, and that downstairs is a room that the mascots hang out in when they're not out in costume. Now that I'm giving that away. And they have, like, their own lounge down there and their showers, and I've never actually been down there myself, but I've heard it's pretty nice.
Right.
I'm assuming the zoo had something similar where you could go and cool down after you were in that in July.
Sort of, because they would have me, like, in different spots. It depended on, like, what event we were doing. And, I mean, typically, there was a place I could escape. Sometimes it was just on the other side of a fence or whatever. But, yeah, it was, not my favorite thing.
Well, and the costumes, the longer I was there, the better they got. So did you have one that had the built-in fan?
Yes. We had gotten a rhino costume, and I was the first one that got to wear it, actually, and it had the built-in fans. But honestly, like, the fans just blew in more hot air and didn't help at all.
Oh.
So, yeah, I would have rather, like, be in that costume without the fans on.
And it's at this point that you're like, man, I thought we were going to talk about music.
Yeah, amazing how a conversation can go.
I told you it could go all over the place.
Right.
So I have one more question off your Facebook page.
Okay.
All right, so it says you went to Lenape Technical School.
Yes.
Did you know Mr. Rozelle?
Yes.
He used to play in the band Rockabilly Junction, which in Pennsylvania rock show history, he was actually here the second Pennsylvania rock show. I used to do the show live with bands in my living room. And he was in my living room for the second show way back, would have been September 21st, 2004.
Wow.
And they had been there more times than that, but that was the first one where I had a live band. And it was actually members of multiple bands, and they were playing covers because none of us knew any better back then.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead and play that song we don't have rights to.
Yep.
But, yeah, he plays rhythm guitar, although I don't think he's in a band currently.
Well, I'm driving down the highway on a weekend afternoon. Don't know where I'm heading, but I'm about to get there soon. I'm flying down the highway, I keep looking to the back. It won't smoke me, baby, say I'll have a heart.
So how did you get started as a DJ?
So, this was still, we were operating as a club and we were hiring DJs out of Pittsburgh. And there was one night, it was winter time, and our DJ, she couldn't make it because she'd gone in a car accident. So I had to burn some songs on CDs, and there were these really old CD players that were left there, so I kind of had to just wing it doing that. And then, I don't know, after that, I kind of just... At first, I didn't want to be a DJ. I was like, that's too hard. I'm not interested. And that same DJ, she showed me some stuff. And then I ended up getting, you know, my own gear. And really, it's the easiest thing you could ever do. Like, there's so many bells and whistles, buttons, knobs, but it's the easiest instrument. It's hard, you know, a DJ can make it look so complex, but it's so easy.
I actually saw you DJing and hosting a foam party this summer at Leechburg's Pink Day. I have a semi-funny story about that. One of my daughters was with me. The other two kids were with my wife. And my daughter went running into the foam. And she's playing, and she comes back, and I thought she was holding her breath. And she comes walking over to me, and she throws up at my feet. And I'm like, what? And she's like, it was in my mouth. And she took a drink and ran back into the foam. I was like, okay, must not have been that bad.
Oh, man. There was a foam party that we did somewhere. And I actually wasn't there, but I know... My dad was taking some video, and there was this dad holding his baby in the foam, like, you know, he was holding his baby up, and the baby, like, threw up directly onto his face.
What's the craziest thing that you've dealt with while working in the music scene?
There's been a lot. I would say... There was one time we had two bands, small bands touring, and the second to last band, the guitarist got up on one of the speakers, and he jumped off and the speaker fell forward. There wasn't anyone there. It was literally maybe... less than 10 people there, so no one was like in the way, but my dad was pretty furious. He stopped the show.
Those things aren't cheap. How about, has there ever been, let me think, has there ever been a band that you've wanted to stop but didn't? Or did, for that matter.
No, I've never stopped a show. And I don't know. I'm pretty lenient. It depends on what, you know, what they're doing. Like, I don't know, a lot of heavy shows sometimes, you know, a local would, like, hop off the stage and mosh with people or whatever, and that's not a problem. Like, it just depends. Like, I know a lot of times when bands come, they think that my dad is the one in charge, or, like, they'll dismiss me or whatever, but I don't tolerate that.
Talking about live video, I saw one this summer. Justin Rager was involved, and
yes.
I think you know which one I'm talking about, probably.
Yeah.
That one, just I don't think the video showed the whole story.
No, the, like whatever videos didn't catch anything. But I don't know, really. We were just, you know, short staffed because my dad was running another event, and anything that could have went wrong did go wrong, but you'll have that sometimes, and it's not really a problem if you, you know, own up to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Justin, wow, since 2008, and, yeah. He played in the band after I booked him. but the band was there and he was at the show. His brother was playing guitar. It was wow, why can't I think of the band's name now? Meeting in the Static. They were a horrorcore band. I still play them occasionally. And I think they're possibly getting back together. So if you're familiar with horrorcore and you like it, when they get back together, I'll let you know.
All right.
You're probably going, horrorcore? What the?
I mean, at this point, I've seen it all. Nothing surprises me anymore.
I just interviewed Leprosy, which is a metal band out of Pittsburgh. They've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, I know it's death metal, but I think you're going to tell me that it's one of the 4 million different subgenres, so I'm just going to let you tell me what it is. And they call themselves Splattergore.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it's all over the place. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you'd like to bring it up before I let you go? So, last week on the 16th, you had Obey the Brave with Ghost Key, Downswing, A Moment of Pompeii. I actually play A Moment in Pompeii. And is that another one, Lung Ripper?
Yeah.
That's an interesting name.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't put you too much on the spot with that, but that'll give them... the listeners an idea of what some of your shows sound like lineup wise.
Right.
How do you determine cover? That's a good question.
More often than not, it's just $10 at the door. We don't always do pre-sales unless it's like a bigger tour. Yeah, I mean, it depends on, like, the guarantee for the, you know, package. That really determines admission price.
And I thought of one more question before I let you go. Okay. So, one of the big things that comes up when I'm talking to bands is pay to play.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that you guys don't do that, but I'd like to get your opinion on pay to play.
We don't do it, and I don't really think that ticket sale requirements is pay to play unless, like I've seen, you know, other venues or promoters kind of do the thing where if you don't sell all of your tickets, you have to front the rest.
Right.
And we don't do that. If I do have a bigger package, I do ask, locals if they can sell 20 tickets. I don't force it on them. It just helps, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. I think I've told some people, like, if you sell your tickets and you do a good job, you can, you know, make money for yourselves if you hustle selling merch. Put on a good show, people are going to want to talk to you and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, to summarize, we don't do pay to play, basically.
Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show. And
yes.
Again, if you guys want to contact Allie, it's allie.gibson137, and Allie is A-L-E on Facebook. And you can search Radioactive Events Center. I think it's incorporated, right?
Yes.
And I'll have all that information in the show notes as well. So this has been episode number 400, and I've already forgotten. That's awesome, right? 439 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Make sure you check us out. The next couple weeks, we have Gray Walker on November 30th, Max Out on December 7th, Storm Dragon on the 14th, Zom on the 21st. Then we're going to follow Christmas with Wicked Earth on the 28th, and Shy Kennedy from Black Seed Records, and a whole bunch of other things, kind of like Allie, on January 4th. So lots of shows scheduled and more to come. Stay tuned in, and we'll play some more of the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, Bill. This is Dosha from Reign of Z. I was just calling to let everybody know who listens to the podcast about what we have going on in our Indiegogo. Reign of Z is set to go to New York City the first week of December to record with Steve Sobchak, who did the new Ice Nine Kills album and also has worked with the Atari. We are currently crowdfunding, or pre-ordering, if you will, to get our album funded. If you go to our Reign of Z page on Facebook, you can click on Indiegogo. There are specific designated tiers for each separate donation, whatever you like. If not, there is a separate button for donations if none of the tiers strike you. All of this is tax deductible, so if you guys like to write off stuff, it's a great way to pay it forward and get your money back. And we will be closing the campaign at midnight, November 30th. The reason why we are crowdfunding is because we do not have a label. We do not have a private investor. We are 100% independent. So that means that all of the money that we have contributed out so far, merchandising, everything, has come out of our pocket. So in order to get this EP done, we are reaching out to the people who support us and follow us to make a contribution. And we're asking to pay it forward. And also, with the type of band that we are, we're always happy to do that back for people. So we really hope that we can make this goal. We're 70% right now. Any help is appreciated. If you have any questions, just hit up the Reign of Z page. And thanks so much, everybody. Keep kicking ass. Bye.
Fearless and charging on, so refresh my rose and recalling.